by day looked no different than those whence I had come. Things were happening too fast and too strange to wring any sense out of them. I was plagued by a dread that I was the wrong man in the wrong place and wrong time for the company. I did not feel competent to handle the situation, Taglios threatened. Could I presume to lead a nation to war? I did not think so, even if every Taglian man, woman, and child proclaimed me savior. I tried comforting myself with the thought that I was not the first captain with doubts, and far from the first to get embroiled in a local situation armed only with a glimmer of the true problems and stakes. Maybe I was luckier than some. I had Lady, for whom the waters of intrigue were home. If I could tap her talent. I had Mogaba, who, despite those cultural and language barriers that still existed between us, had begun to look like the best pure soldier I'd ever known. I had Goblin and One Eye and Frog Face and, maybe, Shifter. And I had 400 years of company shenanigans in my trick bag, but none of that appeased my conscience or stilled my doubts. What had we gotten into on our simple ride back into the company's origins? Was that half the trouble? That we were in unknown territory so far as the annals were concerned, that I was trying to work without a historical chart. There were questions about our forebrethren and this country. I'd had little opportunity to ferret out information. The hints I had gathered suggested that those old boys had not been nice fellows. I got the impression that the diaspora of the original free companies had been a nut religious thing. The moving doctrine, a vestige of which survived among the Gnar, must have been terrible. The name of the company still struck fear and stirred intense emotion. The exhaustion caught up. I fell asleep, though I did not realize it till the conversation of crows awakened me. I bounced up. The others looked at me oddly. They did not hear it. They were about finished with their meal. Otto was keeping the pot hot for me. I looked into a lone nearby tree and saw several crows, their ugly heads all cocked so they could look at me. They started chattering. I had a definite feeling they wanted my attention. I ambled toward them. Two flew when I was halfway to the tree, gaining altitude in that clumsy way crows have, gliding to the southeast toward an isolated stand of trees maybe a mile away. A good 50 crows circled above those trees. The remaining crow left the lone tree when he was satisfied I had seen that. I turned to lunch in a thoughtful mood. Halfway through a bad stew, I concluded that I had to assume I had been given a warning. The road passed within yards of those trees. As we mounted up, I said, "People, we ride with weapons bare. Goblin, see those trees yonder. Keep an eye on them, like your life depends on it." "What's up, Croaker?" "I don't know. Just a hunch. Probably wrong, but it don't cost nothing to be careful." "If you say so." He gave me a funny look, like he was wondering about my stability. Lady gave me an even funnier look when, as we approached the woods, Goblin squeaked, "The place is infested." That's all he got to say. The infestation broke cover. Those little brown guys, about 100 of them. Real military geniuses, too. Men on